There's a very famous poem and couplet written by Hazrat Allama Iqbal Sahib, and mashallah, very famous poet who has passed in the history of Islam. A lot of people are aware of his personality, and these verses that I've just recited, it is in reflection with regards to what Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And along those lines, these lines have been written. Now, the main point for us is to have love with the noble Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the ruh, the spirit of our deen. And if you take the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out of the heart of the people, of the believers, then you have got a body without the ruh, the body without the soul. So all of the light attached to our deen, the life within our deen, the energy within our deen is attached and linked and proportionate to the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The more we have love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more our iman will be complete and vibrant. The more love we have for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the same way we will be closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The more love we have for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our hearts, the more Allah Ta'ala's Kareem's love will be with us, and the more love we will have for Allah, and the more Allah will love us. And Allah said this in the Quran. So it's a great thing, essential thing. And upon this, we need to think a lot, we need to worry a lot, we need to make effort that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's love, how can we strengthen it? How can we attain it? How can we increase it? How can we attain this love? How? And the more we think that we've got love, it is not enough. And we should always be worrying and thinking and reflecting, how can I strengthen this? That is the Rasulullah's love decreasing in my heart? Is it increasing? Is it diminishing? Is it going down? Is it going down the slope? And then suddenly I need to reflect, I need to analyze, I need to boost my iman and boost my love for Rasulullah, because the whole of the success of iman and deen is hinging on Rasulullah's love. And this is the success in the hereafter will hinge on Rasulullah's love and emulation. The Sahaba Ikram, the blessed companions, mashallah, their status is mentioned in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned is that they were solid and true lovers of Rasulullah. They didn't just have love, they had ishq, deep-rooted love with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we are also ummatis, alhamdulillah. And the Sahaba Ikram, whatever they were, they are examples in front of us. And we want to also emulate them, just like they emulated Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and followed him and copied him. And that's how much love we should have. Extreme love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we should have. And to attain the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shall I tell you the method, the way? Shall I tell you? Because it's a great method and it's a great, you can say, formula. What is the path that to attain the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Alhamdulillah, we all have this. It's impossible that we don't have this. We all have this. It's there. It's existing. And this is Allah's mercy that along with iman, we have the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But brothers, we have to understand that is not enough. There's a gap, and there should be no gap, or there should be nothing lacking in our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Pak, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tariqah, the methodology, the method. And the first thing, the first point, which is important, that in every salah, in every action, first and foremost, we do dua. We pray that Allah, please give us the solid and strong and total love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make us his ashik. Make us his lover. And this is the first way to attain something. If you want something in the world, you want something in the hereafter, then first and foremost, the first thing we have to do is do dua. We have to plead to Allah, request, pray to Allah, ask. Why? Why do we ask? Why do we pray to Allah? Why do we request? Allah Ta'ala has stated, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That there's nothing can occur, nothing occurs, there's no incident, nothing, everything is due to Allah's quwwat, Allah's power. Allah says, if I say, then it will be. So our desires, our needs, whether it's in dunya, world or deen, if we want to become a person who's praying, first and foremost, do dua. Ask from Allah, you want to become a good human being, first and foremost, dua. You want to attain a shop, a business, dua. For everything, the first action to do is dua. Allah Ta'ala likes that this person, this creation of mine, he knows that he has a Rabb, and it's the Rabb who gives everything. Allah, the Lord, the Creator gives it. Then Allah likes that this person has certainty, he's got yaqeen, that me, I give, Allah says. So Allah says that he has yaqeen. Otherwise, if you want to create an attachment with Allah and have yaqeen and certainty that Allah is the Creator and the Lord who gives everything, then we need to do this. And if the person attains this status, then mashallah, he will have total love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person does dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he does dua and he says, Allah, please give me this or that or this item, and then he has yaqeen in his heart that Allah, please give me this. And afterwards you have yaqeen that Allah will give me this, Allah will bestow this to me, Allah will assign this to me. Then Allah ta'ala, if he gives something, then what is our job to do after we did dua, didn't we? We prayed. Then you should be pleased on what Allah gives. We should be pleased on what Allah gives. Allah, I am pleased with the condition that you have put me into. I asked from you and you gave, or you were to give. And instead, if you give me something else, or you didn't give me completely what I wanted, or my condition hasn't changed, or my situation isn't changed, or it's late what I asked for, we just say, Allah, we are happy. No complaints, no issues. You gave this to me, or you didn't give this to me. This is your hikmah and your wisdom. So brothers, first and foremost, we have to pray that Allah, what should Allah give to us? This, Allah, I'm asking for this, and Allah, it is your decision what and how and when and if you give to me. And so we should say, Allah, give me the love of Rasulullah. Allah, give me the attachment to Rasulullah. We have to ask this dua, because the whole of the success of our deen hinges on the love and the attachment and association with Rasulullah. And the second thing to attain this, so first thing to do to attain this was to do dua. And then the Quran tells us, and the Prophet Muhammad also explained to us, that if you want the love of Rasulullah, then you have to emulate his sunnah. You have to practice on his sunnah. Say it loudly. What do you have to practice? What do you have to practice? His sunnah. His practice. Say it loudly. What's the problem? Are you sleeping, or have you not eaten before you come? SubhanAllah, this is the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. We should be alert, focused. When you hear something that's good, say, Alhamdulillah, SubhanAllah. What a beautiful thing I've learned. You should be happy. That's like you're scared or sitting afraid. No, we are getting the formula to success, the key to success, Allah's love, Jannah, Paradise. So what should we practice on? The Sunnah of Rasulullah. MashaAllah, you are awake. Now I understand. So do amal on the Sunnah. So what will we attain? Love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whose love will we get? Rasulullah rahmatul lil alamin. His love. Mahbub Rabbil Alameen, the door of paradise will open. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, if you practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of the two worlds, as you are practicing and following his sunnah, then the love of Rasulullah will come into your heart. Allah's Habib will also start to love us. SubhanAllah. And vice versa. When Allah's Habib starts to love us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah will start to love us. What a beautiful technique and method. And not just, when I say sunnah, practice the sunnah, that we just say that for the action of deen. No, for everything in the world, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, it will make us sparkle. Your worldly actions will become easy, and your deeni actions will become easy. When you follow sunnah, so much barakah will come. And one tariqah is to practice the sunnah, and the way the Rasulullah ﷺ practiced certain deeds, the gap, the difference between the two is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Yes, everything will come, blessings and barakah and mercies of Allah. Now I'll tell you, explain a sunnah, a practice of the sunnah, and inshallah, what will we do upon that practice? We will practice it, we will imitate it, and mashallah, you will have heard this and get the thawab, and I will also get the reward. That's why we've come here, to attain thawab, reward, and we will refresh ourselves. Not I've heard this and then I forget it. No, here, listen time and time again. Time and time again, so that even if we don't understand straight away, Allah Ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to understand and put into practice. So I'll tell you one sunnah. Practice one habit of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a beautiful habit, and it's easy for all of us, and it will benefit all of us, and we have to do this action. There's no person in the world who does not carry out this action. There are many actions, some people do, some people don't do, and some people do those actions and they go forward and they increase and accelerate in the path of the sunnah, and some people don't do those actions because they don't need to. But every human being has to do this action in the world. And what is that action? That habit? Because we all feel sleepy, don't we, at some stage? Or even if you don't feel sleepy, but you remember your mattress. There's no home in which there is not a bed. in which there's not a bed or a place to sleep? Put your hands up if there's nowhere in your home for you to go to sleep. When you buy a house, the first thing you do when you go into that, you see the bedroom, and the bed will go into the bedroom. And that's why people who have made this business of making beds and mattresses, because the beds will, and this is good business. So a person has to buy a bed or a mattress. Somebody has this type of bed, that type of bed. Some people just have a straw mat. Even that's the bed. Even that's the rest place. Somebody has a different type of mattress, different type of cushions, different types of bounciness, etc. So whether a person is young or old, healthy, ill, old or young, big or small, everyone has to go to the place of sleep at the end of the day. Now we see, what was the blessed practice and habit of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to go to sleep? Because if we start practicing this, Allahu Akbar, the rewards for this are massive, massive. Because brothers, this is such a vehicle. The bed in the night is such a train, a vehicle. It's a transportation for the passenger. That when we, in a normal situation, a person, he needs to 5 or 6 hours sleep. May Allah give such as that. Some people who spend 12 hours on the bed, they are such people. So tell me, 6 hours, 5 hours, 12 hours, if you are spending on that mattress, and your whole, it's a half your day. If you tot it up, then half the life of a person passes on the mattress. He's sleeping. If you account, there's a person who's 60 years, then 30 years if he sleeps 12 hours a day, he's sleeping. His life is sleeping. So 30 years of worship we are wasting. If we understand the sunnah methodology of going to the bed, then what will it become? It will become worship for us for 30 years, and it will not be wasted, that 30 years portion of our life. What status of the sunnah? Amazing. Imagine. So if we sleep in accordance to the sunnah way, then we will be sleeping correctly. How much ibadah did you do? 30 years. 30 years, what did you do? I slept. Allahu Akbar, those people who follow the sunnah, how many years did you spend practicing this sunnah? 60 years I lived, and 30 years I spent sleeping according to the sunnah way. Subhanallah, that would be a great answer. So there's a, mashallah, short summary of how to go to the bed and how to sleep. First thing is, when we go to the bed in the evening, all of us should be alert. Listen carefully, attentively. Just like you go into the masjid, be alert. You have to make sure your clothes are correct, there's cleanliness, do wudu before you go to sleep. And it's good. The ahsan tariqah, the best way, the best and most excellent way, for example, when you go to the masjid, is that you should have wudu before you go to the masjid. The toilets of the mosque are not for the people who come from home. They're for the people on a journey. If you have a home in this street or that street, should do wudu before you come to the masjid. Yes? And it's better you do that, more reward. Not that, oh, I'll go and do wudu in the masjid. There's so much reward. The person who leaves his home with wudu, ablution, and goes to the masjid, there's so much reward that in the way, on his journey, en route to the masjid, the angels lay down their wings to accommodate him. They pray for him. So I won't say to you that, oh, you should do it at home, not in the masjid, so you save the water. No, you shouldn't think, I'm going to go to the masjid and do wudu, we open the taps in the masjid. No, before you leave home, you should do wudu easily, then apply the fragrance, and then recite Durood Sharif and Dhikr, and sit in your car and go to the masjid, to Allah Ta'ala's home. And the whole way will become journey for you of ibadat and worship. So what should we do from today? Do wudu ablution at home. And so you don't spend and utilize the energy, the water energy, the water bill, the gas bill, electricity bill for the masjid, or the hot water is being used, so that it empties the boiler quickly and there's not to be used for the next person who comes. And then you should utilize that energy for something else in the masjid. Subhanallah, imagine 25, 50 people, brothers, local, come to the masjid. How much water will be saved? How much heat will be saved? How much energy will be saved? And alhamdulillah, those 50, 25 brothers who do wudu at home before they come to the masjid, how much noor will be spread around them, on top of them? What a beautiful reward. So this is the point. So we should understand that when we're going to the bed, what are we going to the bed for? For ibadah. For worship, just like we've come to the house of Allah to do ibadah. So become alert. Alert. We're going for ibadah, worship, and I have to make my action ibadah. So consider, it's not a mattress, it's become your masjid. It's become your place of worship, your mattress. So whatever you do in the masjid, you're being cautious and careful, and you're paying attention to the action you're doing. So when you go to the bed in the evening to sleep, so you should not go to the bed without wudu. If you break wudu, you go and do wudu. So when you're going to sleep in the night, before you go to sleep, what do? It's our place of worship. So you do wudu. The first sunnah of Rasulullah, they used to do wudu before sleeping. Wudu. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then, so be regular, consistent, steadfast in doing wudu before you go to sleep. So I'll make it a little bit easier for people. If we're lazy, negligent, cold water, oh, I have to go and get wet, do wudu, many things. Then I'll tell you something to overcome that. Do tayammum then. The elders in Islam, the pious predecessors said, even if you do tayammum before you sleep, you'll get the reward of doing wudu before going to sleep. Beautiful method. Put a brick next to your bed. The best way is to do wudu. But due to saving yourself from the laziness, if you do tayammum, then alhamdulillah, inshallah, that will also be considered as wudu, and you'll be going to sleep with the wudu. So every one of us should do what? Keep the brick or the stone. I can't do wudu, it's hard for me. Even if you go and break the wudu on your bed, but you should go to sleep with wudu. So even if your wudu is weak and you easily break wudu in the bed, doesn't matter, but go to the bed with wudu. And so you do, or rub your hands over the stone or the brick, and then follow the tayammum procedure, wiping your hands and your arms and your face, and then you will have wudu. So from today, we should not go to bed without wudu. Otherwise, all night, 12 hours, 10 hours, 6 hours while you're sleeping, you will have wasted that time. Wasted that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so you go to bed, alhamdulillah. You do wudu, and after doing wudu, then fulfill another sunnah. It's not difficult, it's not hard, it's easy. What is that? So, do wudu before you go to sleep. And secondly, apply the surma to your eyes. When you sleep, by applying surma to the eyes, if you put surma to your eyes and you go to sleep, what is the meaning of applying the surma, the collyrium, to the eyes? Because surma or collyrium is for the improvement in the eyesight. So when a person applies surma, collyrium, and he closes his eyes, then he sees the true dreams in the night. His eyes have closed, alhamdulillah. But due to the blessings of the surma, by imitating the sunnah, the dreams that you see, you will see such dreams as if you're seeing the reality. MashaAllah, beautiful, nice dreams the person will see. And he will be saved from the whispering of shaitan. And he will be saved from the difficulties by following the sunnah. So sometimes people don't follow and observe the sunnah. But certain things we should be observant. So put two wipes to the right eye. And to the left eye, apply one wipe of the collyrium of the surma. There's another tariqah, another method, that three wipes to the right eye and two to the left. So do five in total or do three. Both are in accordance to the sunnah. That's it. So I can't go into more detail. So this is the second sunnah I've mentioned. So the first sunnah is to do wudu. And second sunnah is to apply the surma to the eyes. And then as we're going to our place of worship, the masjid, which is, in other words I'm saying, is the bed. Then the third practice to do is to recite the du'as. Read three times, Astaghfirullah ta'ala, Rabbi min kulli dhambin wa atubu ilayh. Then second Astaghfirullah, then third Astaghfirullah. And all of your sins will be wiped away. Just while you're sitting onto the bed, getting onto the bed, you recite Astaghfirullah ta'ala min kulli dhambin wa atubu ilayh. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three times Allah ta'ala will wipe away the sins. Then recite Surah Fatiha, the Surah Ikhlas, and then recite Ayatul Kursi. And very good wazif, this is very good lessons. And then another wazifa, another lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to his Ahle Bayt, to his family, to his most beloved daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and to Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh radiallahu anhu. Beautiful wazifa, beautiful lesson. And recitation. Here we realize that when you get the wazifas from the elders, the pious predecessors, there's a lot of barakah and blessings in them. Lot of barakah and blessings. So this is a longer event, and I will summarize it. That Hazrat Fatima to Zuhra radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah gave them this lesson, that listen, this lesson I'm giving to you, and make this a habit in your life, that while you go, before you go to sleep, we call this Tasbih Fatim. Subhanallah, Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 34 times. We have to recite this. 33 times 33, 34, Alhamdulillah. And after reciting, blow onto your hands and wipe onto your body. And another point to remember is that read this three times Surah Ikhlas, read three times Surah Kafirun, and wipe your blow on your hands and wipe off your body. This is a great wazifa, great lesson. The Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh radhiyallahu anhu said that after that, no time in my life did I disregard this wazifa, this lesson. Even in the hard time, at the time of the sifin, even in that night, I did not leave this sunnah practice out. I even implemented in that night. Beautiful, great and powerful wazifa. And the blessings of it are so numerous, I could lose count. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, the way to lie down, you go to your bed and you lie on your right side and you rest your head on your right palm and you recite the dua, Allahumma bi ismika amutu wa ahya. And then alhamdulillah, you close your eyes and make the niyyah to sleep. And alhamdulillah, go to sleep. All night long, all the time during which you sleep, with the blessings of Allah, the angels will be with you. Allah will assign angels to you. And a beautiful last point I will mention. that there are many things are hidden and there are many secrets and formulas that if we implement to get the du'as accepted. And I've seen and experienced that how the du'as accepted. And this is ibadah, worship. I'm just speaking on one angle. Otherwise, there are many secrets and formulas of this ibadah, worship of the night. And slowly, slowly, I'll explain to you. And today, I will explain to you one thing, one point. That in this practice, there's a maqam when you sleep, that when the person does the du'a, then Allah Ta'ala accepts that du'a. Allah accepts that du'a. I'm talking about when you go to sleep. What is that? When a person goes to sleep on his right side, his cheek on his right side, his cheek on the palm, and after going to sleep, sometimes you can't sleep like that all night long in that same posture. Sometimes a person, he tosses and turns a little bit or changes posture, then his eyes open a little bit, don't they? When you turn a little bit, a person comes to his senses a little bit, the eyes open. When you're turning and tossing, then you do that dua what you need. And Allah Ta'ala says, not only the angels will do dua for you, rather I will accept that dua that you do in the interim period. And this is my personal experience, I will tell you. Great Allah Ta'ala at that time accepts the du'as. Allah gives the formula, the method. But you have to do these things. You have to first do what I've told you to get to that position, to get to that point. You have to prepare, fulfill all the points I said. And then when you toss and turn during the night and you come to your senses a bit, then ask du'a at that time, it will be accepted. And I'll tell you, alhamdulillah, that same du'a, it will come into your mind at that time because you're sleeping at that time. That whatever you need, that will come to your tongue at that time. You will ask that du'a. So all your night, how many du'as you asked on every toss and turn, you do du'a to Allah, and Allah will accept your du'as. So my brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given us a great means, deen and dunya. What has Allah Ta'ala given to us? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah Ta'ala allow us to implement this. What we've spoken on the sunnah today, may Allah Ta'ala allow us to implement the sunnah. And inshallah, if we start from today this practice, and may Allah Ta'ala accept this ibadah, this worship. And not just this, will only the du'as be accepted in the world, Allah Ta'ala will give us the rewards in the hereafter as well. Recite the Durood Sharif.